the Commonwealth Salon. The next presentation is one, whoops, I have to read it. I didn't memorize it. A case study, Oregon digital migration from Content DM to Hydra for digital collections. And I'm going to start off by introducing Margaret Mellinger, who is going to then present the rest of the speakers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Will, and welcome everyone. Thanks for coming to our presentation. Will you present me now? So yes, we're from Oregon State University. I'm Margaret Mellinger, and Ryan Wick is also here from Oregon State. And we also have our colleagues from University of Oregon Libraries, Linda Sato and Julia Simmel. And so it's going to be four of us speaking, but we are going to keep to our 20 minutes. So as we're as I just mentioned, we have a really great shared instance of Content DM that we started with. This is where we started in, back in 2004 or so. And we've had a long-standing partnership between our two institutions. Our sports teams don't get along too well, but the librarian institute do. So as we started to use Content DM together, we started to become dissatisfied with the product. And Karen Eslin and Aviva Weinraub, who used to be at each of our institutions, worked with programmers Tom Johnson, Ryan Wick, and Jeremy Eccles to see what we could do to move from Content DM. So they were exploring some different options for us. And at the end of it, we decided to go with Fedora and Hydra. And we also built a shared governance board and had an MOU written. So we started our work in 2012 to move from Content DM to Hydra. In this presentation, we'll talk about the steps we took to move from Content DM to our new Hydra-based Oregon Digital. Ryan will kick us off by talking about decisions that went into the first prototype. Julia will discuss the migration workflow in some detail. Then Linda will talk about the post-migration cleanup and some of the complications we had to address in that phase. Ryan will close with lessons learned and recommendations for anyone who's considering going down this path. We have less than 20 minutes, so let's get started. Ryan?
I would love it. All right. So in our prototype, all the script emitted fields were in RDF. Kind of a deliberate decision to allow us to use multiple vocabularies and say not be just limited to double core. Although at the time, all of our objects in RDF were strings. Another very important thing that we wanted and had before in Content DM was kind of a collection of landing pages and additional information pages that support the collection. We also knew, again, from experience, that we really wanted items to belong in multiple collections and not be repeated as items. It's important to have a zoomable leakage viewer, and we ended up using an IIP server in the OpenC Dragon UI. Also, for the PDF viewer, we used the Internet Archive code reader. And at the time of this prototype, most of the community were not building repositories with many different item types or linked data, so we were kind of figuring some inside ourselves. So after the prototype met most of our expectations and requirements, we decided to use deep RDF, meaning URIs were impossible for our objects. That meant we needed to write some RDF handling code that didn't exist elsewhere, such as methods for fetch and label handling, and I'm just kind of glossing over some of this, but some of this were DKNAC, a triple gem. A lot of this was done by Tom Johnson. We also, when we were looking at how many items we were migrating, I didn't really have the more exact numbers, but we knew we wanted to set up a separate worker server for derivatives, ingest, fetch, and index jobs. We also, because this Content DM system had been up for so long, we knew we needed to maintain the URLs and provide redirects. So we stored the Content DM short URL with each new item in Hydra that obviously the first one or two, and then a rig task can export all those and generate a mapping file for both the short URL and the collection viewer URL kind of DM. And that obviously generated a pretty large file, and we had some issues with that, but finally got it working really well with Nginx and the redirect maps. We did have some audio files, and we decided to go with just the audio player and HTML5 to start with.
So in 2013, we began to prepare our metadata for migration to NQ contract. We took this opportunity to examine and clean up all the data that was coming out of ContentDM and to transform all the descriptive metadata into our DFM with open data sources for all the fields with beautiful vocabularies. In all, we examined and edited metadata records for 230,000 assets in 68 different digital collections. Our priority was to migrate everything as fast as possible so that we can turn off ContentDM. Our initial migration timeline was February through August of 2013. We did not meet that deadline for a variety of reasons, but it was well worth the time. The first task in the migration was to export and examine all the existing desk.all files for each collection in order to identify fields that would be replaced by targets. The examination revealed many common fields, mostly Dublin Core fields or their equivalents, but many that could use other schema, including marker layers, PRDA registry, Darwin Core, schema.org, BigFrame, Archives Hub, and PRDA Core 4, among others. It also revealed many local fields. By examining the field contents, we were able to normalize these varied fields into single predicates. And in the end, we came up with a list of 155 common predicates from a dozen schema that could be used across all of our collections. Local fields where no predicate existed, but that were determined to contain sufficiently important information for preservation, were published in OPIC namespace, which is a linked data service powered by the controlled vocabulary manager, a Ruby on Rails application connected to Glazera. Those fields where we could not tell what the intent actually was, and where there were no catalogers to consult because either they were fired or just flat out forgot, or fields that contained data that was specifically for ContentDM, we deleted. Next, we determined for each predicate whether the object that I used to contain strings or would require URIs. Finally, we created mappings for each collection from the ContentDM library. All this is documented in the Oregon Digital Metadata Dictionary. Then we turned our attention to the object values themselves, first fixing what typos and delimiter errors we could find using mostly script, but a little bit of by hand work as well. In addition, we had diacritic problems, many of which came from the exported ContentDM data. Then we looked for usable linked data, vocabularies, and used a combination of scripting, and by hand work to gather URIs. In all, we drew URIs from 17 different published vocabularies. During this process, we also modified our predicates to accept values only from specific vocabularies. Once again, if we were unable to find the data with equivalence for our existing field contents, we self-published in open namespace. And finally, we created lists containing the old field contents and any object data values for the next. Migration was accomplished using a Ruby script, CDM to bag, that processed the desk.all files, mapped the fields using our YAML files, and output bags, one item per asset with its metadata per bag. The object data was replaced using a combination of mapping methods and the lists that we produced. Mapping errors or invalid object values could stop the ingest hole. This caused significant time loss. Also, some archival files were gone or corrupted, and we had to either reproduce them or replace them with a low-quality group that's from ContentDM. If the archival files had been removed for preservation and the content DM links hadn't been updated, we were forced to search our servers and find them, and were mostly successful. In addition, not all collections had TIFFs for high-res PDFs in content DM, and not all source files were high-resolution DM. One final issue that caused time loss was the processing of derivatives, which was agonizingly slow for large PDFs and TIFFs. So slow, in fact, that we considered reprocessing the derivatives and ingesting them along with the archived files. But in the end, we decided it wasn't worth the development time. It took us about 2 years to migrate everything into Work and Digital, but the fun didn't stop there.
Okay, so I'm going to start out by talking about Canada. When we first started migrating, we tried to get everything perfect. At some point, we realized that we were going to have to self order the map in order to finish, so we could come back into the map phase. So, this is a screenshot of an asset in metadata just in case we ingested. You can't probably read all the text here at the bottom of the form, but those are all the statements that this can be done. I can look at it now and see that some of these predicates we use the wrong predicate, or there's a typo of the predicate, and that's why those statements failed. At the time, there was a lot of confusion, just didn't make out that system down. So this next screenshot is also an asset meta view. We view the components of the objects that we use with these subject fields. During ingest, if we use the wrong URI, it would come to fail because we need the original name. After ingest, typically the problem would be that the URI that we used was bindable. And so if you can read these, some of them are URIs and some of them are strings. And so the strings represent labels that are successfully fetched, and then the URIs were not fetched. And by the time we got to the post-migration, most of the problems had to do with our self-published trends. And so either we didn't quite match up what we used with what was in our reading space, or we hadn't actually gotten around to creating a term in the first place. So that was one of the things that we had to go back into the records during the post-migration. So we know that if we knew as we were going that we were going to have to back around and fix things. But I'm not sure we expected there to be a lot of problems with the assets. So, this is our senior programmer, Jeremy Eccles, at the U of L Libraries. And he was the guy who got to fix a lot of the problems with bad assets. And he knows that I put him up on the slide. His only request was that I change it to bad ass. Bad assets. Boss is just better than trying to do a screenshot of a failed asset. So I would say that the major problem that we ran into was once he started analyzing clumps on Fedora, he found several thousand duplicate assets. And most of these, I think, came from if there was something wrong with that batch index, we would just delete it and redo it. After trying to fix the metadata. There were a lot of these sort of failed batches still sitting in review, and so he just deleted those, and that fixed a lot of it. In some cases, it would be an error during the ingest, and so it would be these corrupted assets in Fedora. And it wasn't obvious to us in the GUI that this had happened, so he just deleted and ingest those assets. So again, it was very simple for him to figure out which was a good one, which was bad one, and don't make that one. And finally, after all that cleanup happened, really we were able to get a lot of the assets that we could fix. And so Julia's team went and fixed it by hand. So, next. So here's another unexpected problem that we need to come down here with. On the left is an image that we just put in digital. On the right is the image that we should have just. And so what we think what happened was the owner of these images, at some point after they'd been on content name for a while, she changed the convention for the file names. And so somebody went through and fixed them on PDF.com, but not on our original files in the server. So I went to adjust, I adjusted the wrong thing. And of course, as you can see, these are kind of specialized field. So we didn't realize it was common until she actually looked at the images and said, whoa, this is wrong. So again, what Jeremy did was he wrote a script to compare what was on ContentDM and what was on Oregon Digital, and he flagged the ones that were a big mismatch. And then she actually went through and picked the correct ones. And to assist with that, he actually built a tool. So you can see the two images side by side, and then she just chops. And then we actually did some spot checking with other questions. The Mongo and Altai one that we're just looking at, that was the one that by far was problems. Okay. So finally, while we were going through all of this, the team decided that we wanted to try and not less Fedora, which is a Fedora. And so for the most part, that just meant making sure that we have all the required fields and we could get some data in those fields. But there was one particular problem that we had. Mouse dates. I'm sure everybody here has this problem. Funky dates. So the correctly formatted dates that are going with is on the left. And then for one of the questions, this was like how far the original I had to deal with, is on the right. And we found that every single kind of date possible. And we're not sure who came to find us. I think we got into another field. This collection is done, but we still have quite a few more questions to get through. So we're still actually working on this right now.
All right, lessons learned. Kind of sum up, metadata cleanup and review requires significant resources. It's good to have metadata people closely involved with developers from the beginning. And as part of that, leadership needs to have all impacted staff on board. Sometimes that may not be obvious to, say, the development team who all is impacted. It's good to ensure that original media files are named correctly and accessible. Again, as time went on and things were on server somewhere that only one person knew where they were, it became a bit of a hunt to find collections that we know we have these, we scan them, but where are the actual files? I'd say that linked data encourages better quality, but can be time consuming with poor metadata, although tools have improved over the years, and lookups are a little easier these days. And just kind of continued, being involved in the Hydra community is very important to share work and solve problems together. It's recommended to devote development resources to migration tooling and QA, such as the tool Linda just showed, and then compound objects are complicated. this is more for people working on Slayer, just kind of the resources that we talked about, links to those, the metadata dictionary, our the actual schema that we have right now, Hydra, CD in the bag, an example of mapping that we used, CSV the bag, which is we sort of took what we had in CD in the bag and now the CSV, so that's our new bulk ingest going forward. And then OPEC namespace powered by the OPEC manager. All right. So this is just the organizational team, past and present. You'll recognize many of these names. I'm not going to read them all. But yeah, we've had a great team, and still do. And thank you. There's some of you here in the audience, so thank you. And now we can take some questions at this time.
We have about 5 minutes for questions. I saw you first.
With your ingest process, did you have a poster yesterday?
I may have asked at your poster session.
but with your ingest process, the CDS bag, the CUSA bags, what's doing the ingest of that?
We wrote code to take the bag, put the bags in a folder. Part of our Hydra app looks for that folder and then fires off ingest workers for say the bag. Bags that it finds. So kind of per question or whatever split we need to do.
So Hydra triggered the ingest, but the logic for performing the ingest sat elsewhere.
Correct.
So did you perform the ingest directly to Fedora and have Hydra recognize the objects later after the ingest?
No, so we produce the bags kind of externally with the seeding the bag scripts. We upload the bags to the storage folder, and then it's still part of our Hydra app, but it's Rails that fires off the workers. Workers find the Hydra folder, the bags apart, and then ingest the assets that are in the program. I can show you more later if you want to see more of that.
Yeah, I'm asking because I'm curious about batch loading a bunch of material into Fedora without having to go through the front end of Hydra and then having Hydra discover the objects in the repository post engines.
Yeah.
I just like to go, if you could just go back to the lesson learned through the platform. Thank you.
Do you have to deal with the OCR text on the project? And if so, could you use content DM for OCR or do you use OCR?
If I'm remembering correctly, content DM, we had external OCR text files that we just kind of stuck it in and controlled in the record. And so when we adjusted, we re OCR.
More questions?
How about this? Did you find you had collections where you were using the component objects like a collection level description? And what workflows did you apply to that? Did you try to just go back and start over, or were you able to reuse some of what was already in content?
Is content DM our component objects for not that complex? In Hydra, however, we're using complex objects to do kind of older level cataloging, so it's gotten a little bit more complicated. So it didn't figure into the migration that much.
Any questions?
I'll say one more thing about that, actually. So as part of a CDM's bag, there is code that when it finds one of Pentadium's compound files, it will then fetch that file, pull it down, find the items it needs, and then, I don't know this correctly, like shows up at the end of our process because the compound, like, the child objects need to be processed first. But yes, there is code that enables that person's CPU files mixed bags appropriately.
Other questions? We have time for maybe one more. Okay, let's jump through. So we're going to take